A little bit of reading. Some of you all gonna do a little reading. And we are going to look and see what has transpired in Daniel chapter 6. And I love this particular chapter because there's a lot of information in there. So what we're gonna do, we're gonna start reading. And let's see. It's 28 verses in this chapter. But we won't have to do it a little bit at a time, because there's some information that you need to know about before Daniel was put into the lion's den. Okay? So let's see, we're gonna let somebody read from verses 1 in chapter 6 down to verse number 9. Let us somebody can read. Sorry, go ahead. Thank you.
He pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule through the kingdom, with three administrators over them. One of them was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct over government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man Daniel unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May the king Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered, in accordance with the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be replaced. So King Darius put the decree in writing.
Okay. Thank you. There's a lot of meat in this particular reading that Sister Judy just read. First of all, you have to look at Daniel. Daniel was a person, as I just said, who truly believed in doing what the Lord wanted him to do. Now, these satraps, I can't have with the answer on that. You just read the satraps. These were just simply men who were in leadership, but they were also gotten to the point they did not want Daniel to be governor. He was chosen governor. He was chosen governor. He was a leader even before Darius became king. He was a leader when Nebuchadnezzar was in power. Now, the thing that I want to bring to your attention, that in verse 3 it says that then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole region or the whole realm. That's something the king really thought a great deal of Daniel. And he was a man of integrity. He was a man that even the leaders thought a great deal about. But these men hated the idea that he was governor. So they said in their mind to get him on something. They couldn't find anything on him spiritually. So they had enough nerve to go to the king and have a decree made, which would allow them to accuse Daniel of something. And the only thing that they could find was that he disobeyed their God, or the things that they would have in place. Daniel was a man who, as we're going to talk about in a little while, he prayed at least 3 times a day. And he prayed facing Jerusalem. Now, we know why he faced Jerusalem, because years from now, the church was going to begin there. And it was just interesting how this man tried to make sure that he did what was right. Now, so all the governors, Sarsap through before the king, thronged before the king, and let me see, I think I wrote that down too. All of these are just a bunch of men that are in power. That's mainly what that's all about. Yeah.
Ray, I find it very interesting that they realized the only way they could entrap Daniel was if it had to do with the law of God. In other words, if it was against the law of God. Because they knew Daniel would not disobey his God.
Like, oh, yeah.
And to me, that was very interesting and actually an example that all the people around him knew how much he loved God and how he obeyed the laws of God. This, to me, is a lesson for me in itself. You know, when I go out in the world, do people know how much I love God? Do they know that I obey the laws of God the way they did about Daniel? Because it's interesting that they knew that's the only way we're going to get him.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And they did all they could. Thank you. They did all they could to entrap him. They even went so far and to get the king involved. Mm-hmm. Let's make a decree.
Yeah.
They're going to make a decree. And anyone that disobeys the decree, and I'm going to tell you something, it's very important that you understand these decrees when they are made. Yeah. When a decree is, sometimes they had a signet ring that they used to put it into law. And even the king could not go back on it. No, he couldn't just go back on it. Ed had to find some other way in order for that decree to be broken. So if people need to understand how important that decree was. These men knew exactly what they were doing. They knew exactly what they were trying to do against Daniel. And they almost succeeded. Well, pretty much, I'll say almost. And I'll just leave it at that. Now, I've already gone over the fact that they put into law. If Darius knew anything, that anything had been against Daniel, he would have done it. But these men plotted and planned this. You know, it's a dangerous thing to go against an almighty angry God. I'm going to tell you right now, that's dangerous. And they're going to find out just how dangerous it was. Let's look at, that's going to be to read a little bit more. And let's go down to verse 10. Somebody go ahead on and read down to verse number 17. Or you can split it up. Is somebody two people want to read? you can do that.
When Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in the upper room with his window open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks to the Holy Spirit, as was his custom since early days.
Mm-hmm.
Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and made the supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree for every man to petition any God or a man within 30 days except you? All things shall be passed to the den of lions. The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king, that Daniel, who is one of the captives in Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but made the petition 3 times a day.
Okay, hold on 1 second, darling. I'm sorry. Look at this, what these men had decided to do. They went to the king, unbeknown, first of all, that it was Daniel that they were talking about. Secondly, the king had no idea that they were against him. So, this decree, you know, it's just a plot to get rid of one of God's servants. I want you to look at something. Go over, somebody get for me Matthew chapter 15, verses 13 through 14. Matthew chapter 15, verses 13 through 15.
Okay.
Okay.
But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted.
Mm-hmm.
Let them alone, for the blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the
ditch. That's exactly right. And it has never failed that I've known. Since as long as I've been in the church, it's very unfortunate for me to have to say this, but we've gone through some of these things ourselves, my wife and I, since we've been in the church. It's very unfortunate. But you know, it just made us stronger. It makes you stronger when you look at the things that can go on in the Lord's church, and it ought not be. We ought to be showing love for one another. We shouldn't be trying to do something to hurt another individual at any cost. Because I'm going to tell you, when God, if God sees it, he sits high and looks low. He's not going to tolerate it. And sooner or later, the person that's doing this plotting and blaming, they're going to suffer. They're going to suffer big time. All right. Who else want to be? Do you want to read some more? Yeah, go ahead, Lynette. Thank you. Oh, just stop it, honey. 14.
The king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then his men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the So the king gave the command, and he brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signature, and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed.
As I just said, this decree could not be changed even by Darius the king. They plotted against this man and had him thrown into the den of lions. I can't hardly believe that people would do these kinds of things. That's why I know that God's word is number two, because the man had written it, it wouldn't have been like that. He would have made himself look good. These men did this, and Darius was really sorrowful that he got caught in this. But we're going to read a little bit more, and we're going to see exactly what happened. There's always part two to the story. Yeah.
You know, Ray, I find it kind of interesting too that Darius told him, your God that you continuously serve will rescue you, not maybe rescue you.
Oh, yeah.
Will rescue you. Makes me think that he kind of believed in the God of Daniel as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting for me.
Well, you know, very good. You know for a fact that, you know, Daniel was he was a prophet. Mm-hmm. But he also could determine dreams. Because Nebuchadnezzar had a couple of dreams that he had to interpret. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that with all these men and these men who were working with the king, they couldn't interpret anything. Mm-hmm. Daniel could. And you better believe others knew it.
Oh,
yeah. Including Darius. He knew it. Mm-hmm. He knew it. And that's a good point. He made it clear that your God will save you. And I'm going to tell you, you know, I try to tell people all the time, it's much easier to do the right thing. Live right for God. We got enough stuff going on in the world that we don't need to be putting ourselves into a dangerous situation. I'm so thankful. And all these years that I've been a member of the church, I've learned a whole lot over the years. And I learned a little bit about people, too. Basically, we're all similar in a lot of ways, you know? And if you're doing what's right, all you want to see is right. You don't want to see any wrong done.
I guess I was just going to say something.
That's all right with that.
Are you having a moment?
I have them all the time.
if you surround yourself with people of integrity and you do the right thing, then you can kind of it's easier for you to follow that and to, you know, their example. So Darius and Daniel's example in his life, you know, like you said, by the way, look at and conversely, the other man, he had two different minds, and they did not have
two. Oh, yeah, that's true. That's okay. That's all right. Look here. We've all been there. right, regular. As I get older, Oh, yes. But I am telling you, this Daniel, he was quite a man. And I had a lot of respect for Darius also. But we're going to get down there. Let me see where we are. Man, I haven't gotten anywhere near that yet, but oh yeah, we got the census now. We're going to look at our friend Daniel in the den. Somebody else want to read from 18, chapter 6, verse 18, down to verse 23. Okay.
Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lion?" Daniel answered, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angels, and he shut the mouths of the lion. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in the sight, nor have I ever done wrong before you, O king." The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God.
Thank you very much. You know, you remember his other friend, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not eat of some of the delicacies that Nebuchadnezzar had put before them. They would not eat of those things. They would not obey any God but the one true and almighty God. So what happened? All right, they put the fire so hot. The fire was so hot that the man was supposed to put him in there, into the furnace, the burning furnace. Some of them burned up before they could even put him in there. And you know the story. Those three men went down in that fiery furnace. But when they looked down in there, there was a fourth man down there. He said, "The Son of God." When are you going to learn? It looked like they had a hard time learning and accepting the fact that God is the one who can do all things and do all things well. So I don't know what else to say. You know, Darius, his demeanor was he couldn't even sleep that night because he was worried about that man. He was worried about what would happen. Couldn't sleep. Wouldn't have any musicians to come in. That probably would have soothed him, but he wasn't in the mood. So he was just anxious for daylight to get there so that he could call out to Daniel. "O king, live forever." I bet those words were joy to his ears. I'm sure it was. Joy to Darius' ears.
Well, and you know, Ray, again, Darius didn't expect the dead man, or he wouldn't have called out to David.
Mm-mm.
You know?
Yeah.
"Hey, was your God able to deliver you?" You know, so he expected, I think, for him to be alive. He just wanted confirmation of it.
Yeah, well, he confirmated it.
Yeah.
He certainly did. And in verse 23 is, the sister read, "Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den." So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no injury whatsoever was found on him because he believed in his God. how much faith do we have? Sometimes we ready to fall down sometimes when the slightest thing come up. I don't have the money to pay this bill this week. How am I gonna do? How am I going to give the Lord his due and offering without hardly have money to pay my bill? There's a song that is saying the Lord will make a way somehow. And I choose to believe he'll make a way for us. But you know, when you praying, you don't say, Lord, if it's your will, or Lord, if. You know, you don't want to go in there with doubt. You want to go in there with a positive prayer. The one that when he listens to it, he knows that you believe in him, that he's going to take you and whatever little bit of misery you're going through, he can take care of that for you. We don't have enough sometimes, I think, enough Christians leading the charge when it comes to faithfulness. Sometimes we fall short when it comes to faith. We just don't have enough of it. You know, I've been guilty of it. But I found myself, I had to go back and pray again. Get that thing right. Yes.
Go ahead. It's interesting how, okay, Daniel was in captivity, but he was a strong leader in captivity. And, I mean, he was a Jew and they were despised. And Joseph, you know, he came out from the Jews to lead the Egyptians. And Esther, she came out to lead the people. So how many times did God pick out people who, you know, we see it over and over again, mm-hmm. pick them out in the lowest situations that they could ever think they could be in, and has been to lead.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
You know, not just the Jewish people. I mean, he was, you know, these people were being those that had put him into captivity.
Yeah.
Made them slaves, basically. They were Jewish people's slaves. So,
yeah.
You know, how great an example of
Mm-hmm. Well, you're absolutely right. And you mentioned some good godly folk like Esther and there are many more, but Esther was very interesting. I don't know, I taught that class on Esther and I've read that book over and over again. I just love that. You know, I just love the book itself. But absolutely, God has always found men and women to do his will. Because they had faith in the Lord, they believed in him. We should be the same way. We should have the same attitude when it comes to faith.
They boldly lived their belief in God, even in the face of adversity. They boldly let the world know who they belong to.
Oh, yeah.
And I think sometimes we as Christians, if we're out in the world, we don't want to offend nobody, okay? And I think as Christians, we need to stand up more for our belief than what we really do.
Yeah.
You know, you see, everybody speaks against Christians and what they do, and we don't like you, or you don't need to rub your faith in our faith, and you can't pray in public, or da 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 da. But how many times do you hear Christians speak out against, you know, that we are not allowed to do this? And I think we need to stand up for God. We need to raise Him above what the world teaches us and wants us to do.
Yeah, no question.
And I think sometimes we fall short of that.
Oh, yeah.
And then you look at Daniel, and you look at Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. You look at Moses. You look at Paul and Peter and what these people did, even though they weren't liked and people didn't want them to do.
Okay. Yeah, it's really important that we do
do
God's will and stand up for it.
Yeah.
You know, we ought not ever be ashamed of our God, because you'd be ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of you, and He will deny you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't think I want to be denied by the Lord.
No.
It just all is to it. No. All right, let's see. All right, let's look. Verse 24 down to 28. Part of this is going to be Darius' prayer. But I want to look at what happened to these men. Go ahead on and read verse 24, then we'll get to 25 through 28. Let's read 24. Who wants to read?
At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed them off and their bones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, Daniel's starting to fall in the hands of a very angry God. These people who decided that they were going to do harm to Daniel, they ended up suffering themselves. They ended up in the lion's den. Darius made sure that they just put in the lion's den, and it won't be no coming back. They said they broke the bone before they even hit the floor. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, that's all I can do is imagine these lions of these men who did this wrong. And it's always a major penalty that you're going to suffer when wrong is done to one of His children. Because God has seen a lot when the Israelites were in captivity for over 400 years. That was really something to think about within itself. And then along came Moses. But God's people have always been stiff-necked. They don't want to obey Him, keep His word. They didn't want to, God said, do not marry outside of, you know, do not marry outside your race. Do not marry outside, you know. But they desired these women, and they ended up in very bad shape. And then they took over these Baals, these false gods. They had no business doing that. But God got tired of it. If you have no other God before me, I will have no other. You should have no other God before me. And you going to do this, you're going to suffer. As a matter of fact, the reason they were in captivity in the first place is because they were hard-headed, stiff-necked. They didn't want to do what the Lord told them to do. Y'all been shameless there. And these men found out the hard way what it's like to deal with an angry God when he messes with one of his children. They found out. Let me see if we can, we can finish this. Somebody go ahead and read on down to verse 28. And this is their prayer. King Darius wrote 25 through 28.
Then King Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of kings, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He has delivered Daniel from the power of the lion. So this Daniel prospered and reigned victorious in the reign of Cyrus the Persian.
Thank you so much. Darius knew exactly what happened here. And look, we're going to change this decree now. So he could change it. And I'm so glad that he was able to do that. And sometimes people have to go through some things before things will change. But I'm so glad that Daniel overcame and that Darius realized and understood the one true God. I'm glad he can make that. I'm glad he can make that distinction. I don't know what's on. I might be a few minutes past. Okay. But I really wanted to talk a little bit about the plot against Daniel, more so than the writing on the wall, as many of us have read about. Also, an understanding of Nebuchadnezzar and what he went through. That man, I mean, this is a king, and he's out there eating grass like grazing in the grass like the animal. But it was a real interesting book. And Daniel has a lot of things that we could talk about. Yeah, that's good. And you know, I may do another lesson on Daniel. We'll look at some other things. Of course, this could change down the road, but I found that this was a good lesson to talk on. I appreciate y'all's helping out, communication, and all this good stuff. Appreciate everybody's participation so much.